I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Thank you for being here. When I say the words Trump administration and Breitbart, you probably think of one person immediately, Steve Bannon. He's a former head of Breitbart News and now President Trump's chief strategist and the man who helped turn the conservative news outlet into a platform for far-right ideas and white supremacists. But there's another prominent Breitbart alum in the White House. He's Sebastian Gorka, a deputy assistant to the president. He's a former national security editor at Breitbart. When I spoke with him today, I started by asking Gorka to tell me about his parents' escape from communist Hungary during the 1956 uprising against Soviet control there.
My father was actually liberated from a communist prison where he'd been given a life sentence at the age of 20. And the revolutionaries captured a tank and liberated him and some of his fellow anti-communists. And with the daughter of one of his fellow prison mates, he made it out across the minefields to the west. They ended up in the UK, were married, and I was born in England.
Right. So refugees from a Soviet crackdown, and now their son, you work for a president who puts America on the same kind of moral political plane as Vladimir Putin's Kremlin. That's ironic.
Are you serious? Is that a serious question? That's really, really disappointing from a channel like yours.
It's just probing. I'm just curious what you think of that.
I hope it's ironic, because it's pathetic if it isn't.
Well, I said it's ironic.
I don't think that's what he did. And anybody who thinks he did that really doesn't know what they're saying.
So who's in charge of Russia policy on the National Security Council?
There's a whole team of individuals that deal with European issues in Russia as well. I'm in the Strategic Initiatives Group, so not part of the National Security Council, but you can ask any of those individuals.
But maybe you can shed a little light on what's going on, because we hear a lot of contradictions. President Trump has suggested he might recognize Russia's annexation of Crimea, but UN Ambassador Nikki Haley has condemned the annexation. How do you view this?
The president was unequivocal when he gave a press conference a few weeks ago in Trump Tower. He was asked in the Q&A specifically about the relations or the future relations with the Kremlin and with Vladimir Putin. And he was explicit. He said, look, I don't know Vladimir Putin personally. I would like to be able to cooperate with him if possible. I don't think that looks very likely, and so be it. So anything clearer than that would be hard to imagine.
The contradiction, though, on Crimea, that is clear.
I don't see it. I don't see any formal recognition of what Russia did. The media for the last 2 weeks has been generating stories from whole cloth. I come in every day, and with my colleagues, we had a good old laugh, because we open the newspapers, the ones that are supposed to be the leading authorities in America, and they write about issues where we were in the room the day before, and their reportage bears absolutely no resemblance to what is actually happening inside the White House and the decisions that are being taken.
But Nikki Haley did condemn the annexation at the UN, and President Trump during the campaign did say he might recognize Russia's annexation of Crimea. So I don't understand what's being made up
here. We can go around in circles if you want, but as I said, take what Mr. Trump says in full context. Listen to full sentences, not sound bites, and listen to what he said at his Trump Tower press conference. As somebody who's inside the White House, as somebody who doesn't judge on nanosecond sound bites, there are no contradictions.
So there are people in Washington and around the country who are concerned that President Trump might be trying to emulate Mr. Putin. Are you concerned?
If you're going to ask really churlish and childish questions like that, then there really is no point to the interview.
I don't think it's childish. I think there are people around the country who want to know, and there are many of them. Are they all asking churlish and childish questions?
They may be. Anybody who posits such absurd concepts that he's modeling himself upon Vladimir Putin or anybody else really has a very simple agenda. They wish to attack and undermine the duly elected president of the United States.
You know, we could cite ruling by executive order, undercutting the judiciary, lashing out the press. I mean,
do you know how many executive orders President Obama issued? Do you remember his famous line?
We were just talking about 2 weeks in office.
Yeah, and I know it may be shocking for some people out there to have a president who actually wishes to stand by his promises and who for a year has been talking about making these kinds of changes. And when he does that, you're surprised. Well, I know politicians keeping their promises may be unusual to you, but in this White House, that's how we like to operate.
What if the next terrorist attack happens on U.S. soil and the attacker is not from one of these seven countries? Will Americans then be surrendering civil liberties in the name of security? You're going to say it's a childish, churlish question, let me guess.
Well, it is.
It's a fair question.
The thing about democracy is inherently susceptible to extremists, whether they're members of the KKK, whether they're communist subversives, or whether they're jihadis. So the only nations that don't have terrorism are dictatorships. So no, we are inherently vulnerable all the time. But this administration is going to do everything it can constitutionally to protect our citizens and to lessen the threat to them in ways that go beyond the broken system that we have today. So that's the mission. That's the logic behind this executive order and behind everything the president does in the national security domain.
Sebastian Gorka, we're seeing huge divisions in the U.S. at the moment. How does the Trump administration plan on addressing those divisions, some of which have obviously come out in this interview?
By actually implementing the making good on the promises that the president made in his campaign. So if you look at what we have done in just the last 15 days, it's quite incredible.
That is assuming that those promises don't continue to anger large parts of the country who are still protesting and still very angry.
Go to Montana, go to Middle America, go to the backbone of this nation that voted in Donald Trump. I'm not interested in the chattering classes, in the social justice warriors, the people who are spun up and wear masks covering their identity, destroying other people's private property. The chattering classes of Los Angeles, New York, even D.C. and San Francisco do not represent the people who believe that America can be great again. So when you say large parts of America, again, I'd like to see your data because it's not true.
Sebastian Gorka, Deputy Assistant to President Donald Trump. Thank you.
You're most welcome.